obviously you have great players that you played with, but you played for Joe Gibbs and you played for Mike Shanahan. Those are just two amazing coaches. Can you talk a little about the traits that they had and what you think made them both so successful as head coaches?
Yeah, there's several things that really made them successful. One, you know, and I always say this, there's kind of two types of fear. There's the biblical sense of fear, which when they say in the Bible, like the fear of the Lord, that is like an awesome reverence or respect, right? Mm-hmm. And so Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan both had this awesome respect, reverence from the players, right? And you've got to have that to be able to lead men. So there's that aspect of biblical fear. There's also the aspect of fear. Like, those guys would cut you if you didn't perform. It's just the way it is, right? There was a no-nonsense approach to the way they led their football teams. And if you did not produce and you did not do what you were asked, and if you were a receiver that wouldn't block, or you just don't get to play. And so there was that kind of atmosphere within our organizations. And so, so that was, you know, both types of fear were present in our organization. The other thing they did a phenomenal job of is really helping the player understand the whys, the kind of the W's, the who's, the what's, the whys. And so it wasn't just that we were going to run a play. We're going to run this play, and here's why we're going to run it. Mm. Here's how we're going to run it. And here is the ultimate benefit that will, you know, and here's why it will benefit our football team. And if you're completely sold out to that, Kyle does a phenomenal job of this. You know, I'm sure he's gotten it from his father. But if you're sold out to this, this is how we're going to benefit. This is how it's going to help us win a football game. I watched Kyle once in a meeting basically say, you know, here's this play. And we're going to run this particular run six times. We're going to get 2 yards of carry. This play isn't worth a shit. But if we execute and we sell out on this play, Kittle, you're going to get an explosive. Ayuk, you're going to get an explosive. Right? Juszczyk, you're going to get an explosive. And we're going to end up at least scoring one touchdown and having three explosive plays. And so when you start talking about explosive plays in the NFL, and teams do it a little bit differently, but on average, it's a 10-yard run or a 20-yard pass. Well, each explosive on a drive equates to an average of 2.8 points per explosive. So all of a sudden, if you run a play six times and you get 2 yards of carry, but it nets you four explosive plays in the passing game, guess what? You're gonna win that football game. And so those coaches, Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan, it's passed down, obviously, to Kyle Shanahan, were so phenomenal at essentially having us understand more globally why we do things. And the benefit, you know, the cause and effect of doing those things the right way. And so there's always that benefit. And you knew, man, if I sell out, you know, we're gonna score. If I sell out, we're gonna do this is what's gonna happen. This is the benefit. And I can tell you this, you know, anytime you win on Sunday, for a player, it's always good to win, but losing, there's always some type of punishment involved in losing. You know, coaches are very great at, you know, at making you feel miserable, right? And so it was one of those things. Let's just avoid. Like, we had a steadfast rule. It started with Joe Gibbs. I carried it over to Mike Shanahan. You know, two things. Mondays, if we won, we didn't have to come in and watch film with coaches, right? So you didn't have to get your ass chewed by your coach. The grade sheets were there. You watched it on your own. And then we didn't have to meet as a football team. So there became this punishment aspect to going, you know, Sunday you'd be in the fourth quarter, you'd be down and like, hey, sons of bitches, I do not want to sit down with those coaches tomorrow. Right. I had a play in the third quarter I don't want to hear about. So let's go. And then the other thing that we ended up doing with Mike is on Fridays. Now this is because, you know, we did this with Mike Shanahan, but on Fridays, this wasn't a Joe Gibbs thing, but like, you don't want to put on a helmet and shoulder pads on Friday. So we had hat day on Fridays. And if you won, you got to go out on Fridays in a hat. and you didn't have to put your helmet on, right? Hat and just jersey. And dude, like, we're simple creatures, you know, I mean, just men in general, you know, feed me well, like, you know, and let me, like, we're pretty simple that way.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing how just not having to wear your helmet out to practice on Friday, what a motivating factor that can be on a Sunday. And so yeah. little things like that, you know, were this reward system, but it, like I said, it was really about how we're going to play together and what we're going to do to kind of create this opportunity for one another. And so, and that's the other thing. It's really about one another. Hey guys, if you sell out on this, you know, and really sell the run on this, you know, hey man, he's going to get a big time play and we're going to score a touchdown. And it's fun to see how all of us working together create, you know, an opportunity for someone. So that's what I loved about those guys and how they were really similar.
Shifting to the Niners a little bit, you know, the big story seems to be Brandon Ayuk, and Trent Williams is almost flying under the radar here. And Trent Williams may be the most important player out of the 49ers when you look at how good he is and what he brings. I was listening to your show a few weeks ago when you were waxing poetic about how good he is and what he brings to the offense. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about, as a former offensive lineman, just what you see in Trent Williams?
Well, one, he's not afraid to lose. He is not afraid to, like, he never tiptoes off the ball. He never tries to position anybody. He never tries to make sure that he's safe. He comes off the ball and tries to shorten your freaking neck. And, like, he is trying to kill people. Like, it's frightening to watch. And it's also really exciting to watch. And so there's that aspect to him that sets a tone. You know, for the offense, man, he's coming off hunting and he's an intimidating factor out there. He is just something special. He's so fun to watch. And, you know, he does fly under the radar because everybody makes the big deal out of the receiver, which is kind of ridiculous. But I think one of the reasons he probably flies under the radar is because Trent Williams is so damn good, he doesn't need to practice. Like, this might be the best thing. What has he played, 14 years? Just having his body healthy. Like, Trent, you just do whatever it is, you know, a freak show from another planet does. And then you come in when we're ready to have you come in. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that they'll come at the 11th hour. They'll go, here's your agreement. He signs it, and he's in, and he's still the best left tackle in football without ever taking a snap in the preseason. So I just don't have a lot of fear about Trent Williams. Like, it yeah. just hang tight, buddy. We'll get you when we need you. So I almost feel, and I haven't talked to anybody about this, but I almost feel like there's a, you know, a wink, wink, handshake deal with Trent. Like, we'll be good. And so that's, I almost feel like that's probably why there's not a lot of talk, because he is that
yeah.
important. I agree with you.
So I wanted to ask you this too. Do you think the missing training camp thing is a little bit overrated? Because remember, Bosa said last year, he signed, what was it, 3 days before the season. He said, you know what, it took me a little while to get football shape. Trent's a different animal, but for somebody like Ayuk or another player, do you think that's really important for them to be here and get these reps?
You know, I think as you age and you get to be a veteran, there's this kind of a scale of diminishing returns on practice. Like, when you know what you're doing, you've done it, you know, well for a long time. But as a younger player, you know, you're always learning things. You're always getting that feel for the game. And let's face it, you know, Ayuk has been, what, two back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. But his first season or two, there were some questions there. That wasn't as good as the last couple of seasons were. So, you know, I think there is, to an aspect, like a guy like Bosa or a guy like Ayuk, who you're required to be, you know, more physically fit. Like, I mean, I will tell you, as an offensive lineman, you know, once I block you or if I cut you or, you know, once the ball goes outside, you as a defender have to chase it. Like, that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. I just walk to the next place we're going to huddle. I don't give a rip. we complete a ball 30 yards down the field. I just like this. Like, wow, good one. And then I walk to the next huddle, you know, like, so there's not as much cardiovascular fitness required to play O-line than there is, you know, defensive end or wide receiver. So I think that the timing of that, the other thing that happens is the way we train today, like in the off season, it's a problem because you don't train like football players. You train like track stars. And so there's a, and you know, there's this kinesthetic awareness of running around and having somebody in phase, you know, bumping on you and doing all that stuff. That stuff is real. And I think it's one of the reasons, like, in my opinion, and I don't know the statistical analysis on this, but I think there are far more, it feels like there are far more soft tissue injuries, far more ACLs, Achilles during training camp than there ever has been. And I think it's because we don't train like football players. So all of a sudden you get out there and now you're playing football and you got somebody bumping into you. You know, there's a proprioception like skills, you know, and how to lean on people and how to, and nobody does that anymore. Like we used to beat the crap out of each other in the off season, right? I mean, we did one-on-ones. It was, hey, you know, we wear helmets out there without shoulder pads or anything. It was full speed, no pads. Let's go. And we did full speed one-on-ones, full speed reps all off season, and they've taken that out of the game. You know, and I think that leads to eventually more injuries because your body just isn't prepared to do that. And I think for both Ayuk and for a guy like Bosa last year, those reps are a little bit more important than they would be for Trent Williams.
Yeah, it's like you don't develop those calluses, right? You're just
Yeah.
not football form to go. You know, the Niners, one thing that's been a concern this preseason so far is injuries. And they've played 60 games the last three seasons, and they've made it far to have, you know, really heart-wrenching losses. Now, you didn't have that problem in the Super Bowl. You won all your Super Bowls, but you know, you had to have some playoff losses along the way. How hard is that to come back from when you get that far, a divisional round or a championship or a Super Bowl, and say,
Yeah.
oh, we made it this far and now we have to start over? Is there like a mental thing that you have to get over with that?
Yeah, I think anytime you lose in the playoffs, you know how close you are. And there's a sliding scale of disappointment. I'm sure losing in the Super Bowl is incredibly disappointing, right? Because you're the last two standing. Sometimes when you're beat up and you lose in you lose in a wild card, you're like, man, that sucks to lose, but God, I need to have this surgery. And I, you know, there's kind of that light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But for the Niners, as deep as they've gone, and you know, the disappointment to be in overtime and to lose that game to Kansas City, to be up 10 late in the game a couple of years ago, and to give up the one big long one to Tyreek and to miss a couple things on offense, you know, there's a couple throws that that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't make, that I think would have tilted the scales in San Francisco's favor, and they would have won that game. And then obviously to have the Brock Purdy injury in the NFC Championship, you know, those things are so unfortunate. But I think one thing about the Niners, when you talk to guys, you know, and I've talked to several guys this offseason, Kittle and Juszczyk, and like there is this unfinished business aspect to them that I really, really like, right? They know how close they've been. They know how good they are. They knew how good they can be. And there really feels like this man, we have, you know, we've forget about disappointing our fans. You know, that's tough, but we've really disappointed ourselves in the way at the end of the year, the way we haven't been able to finish. And so they feel like they're in a good place to me that way mentally. We'll see exactly how it plays out, but I know they're talented. You know, I know they're tough. I know Kyle Shanahan does a great job with his staff and the rest of the coaches on that staff. So, you know, I feel pretty good about kind of where they sit.
Stink, congrats on the new show. Thanks for the time. We always love having you.
Anytime, guys. Take care, man, and go Niners.